I want to speak about Bhakti Jerusalem. I guess it's particular time that's it may be welcome to say a few words about my mostly my observation and some experience I've known Bhakti Tru Maharaj a long time. Obviously I've been on the GBC for last track 34 years. And he's been on, I think, I can't remember. He must, maybe came on around the same time I did. I don't remember. But anyways, so we've had a lot of exchanges. That's the point I'm making. A lot of personal exchanges in the course of the time, particularly at attending meetings and things like that. When I think of Bhakti Tru Maharaj, I think of, somehow comes to my mind, that Prabhupada, I remember we always used to quote this back in the 70s, Prabhupada gave this instruction that he wanted his disciples to be perfect ladies and gentlemen. And I always thought of Bhakti Tru Maharaj as a person who embodied he embodied this quality. He was just such a perfect gentleman, but Prabhupada, of course, wanted his disciples to be perfect ladies and gentlemen, but when you mix that with some perfect Vaishnavas, you've got a personality who's really lovable. And everything he did was always, you know, the expression, love is in the detail. And anything he ever did, especially one of his favorite activities, was hosting devotees, hosting his god brothers. And the details were always just so, everything was perfect. Oftentimes he would cook, and he would cook some pretty heavy prasadam. A lot of mustard oil. And he knew I had digestion issues. So, not all the time, but some of the times, he would make sure there was some special prasad. So, because he knew that I wouldn't be able to. I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the that characteristic of attentive to the details. He was, although there'd be 15 devotees there, he would always make sure there was something special. Not always, but sometimes, make sure there was something special for me. I remember when we had our GBC meeting in Ujjain. Few years ago, and he even came up to me and he asked me specifically two things. He asked me specifically at that time, he begged me to please not leave Ujjain and to stay in the Ayurveda clinic there. So Maharaj, please, we'll take care of everything that you need. Just please stay. You don't even have to leave. We have a room for you. All your needs will be taken care of. And he had this tendency when dealing, at least with me, but I'm sure with many others, because he joined later, he always treated us as seniors, which was a joke for me, you know, to be treated as a senior. I joined maybe a few years before he did. But he always treated me as a senior. And so anyways, he was attentive to details there in Ujjain for special prasadam for me, and also begging me to stay and give me accommodations there. In fact, I was there. One of the things I'll never forget, it was in 2006, I believe, was when they had the grand opening of the Ujjain Temple. And you were there?
No, I remember you spoke in lecture.
Huh?
You told us in lecture he requested you to serve Radharani.
Yeah, I don't know. Of all people, he came up to me and asked me if I would come and take responsibility for Radharani, for the installation, to massage, bathe, and not dress, but do everything for the Abhishek. And I said, Maharaj, are you sure you want to ask me? First, I said, sure. He said, yes, Maharaj, please, will you do? And when he says something like that, you know, you just can't, you know, you can't refuse. That was in 2006. And I remember there was the installation of Kirtan. Govinda Maharaj was chanting a Kirtan. He was chanting Jai Radha Madhava in Kirtan. And I was massaging oils, part of the installation for Radharani. And it was just an unforgettable experience. And I just felt very fortunate to be given that opportunity. And I don't know what qualification I had to be asked for it, but somehow he approached me and asked me to do it. And some things I can remember of him. Other exchanges I specifically remember. A few years ago, you know, it wasn't even a few years ago. Maybe it was just 2 years ago. He was always very encouraging to me. I remember, maybe I should be careful not to say too much, but it was the GBC meetings, and we were discussing the Vaishnavi Diksha Gurus, and everybody was requested to speak for 5 minutes. Their concerns. And I didn't talk about it. I spoke. I had my opportunity to speak. And I took my 5 minutes to use the opportunity to speak about respect. And that whatever decision was made, if it was according to Prabhupada's request that the GBCs discuss and whatever outcome there is, then I wasn't so much the issue with me what the outcome would be, although I had a particular position. But I didn't discuss that at all. I just specifically spoke about that what would be of great concern to me is that whatever decision was finally made, if in our top leadership we couldn't have respect for those who have an opinion opposite to ours, and demonstrated that lack of respect by speaking in a way to, you know, disparagingly or whatever it may be. I didn't expect that it would be like that. I just said I would hope that something like that wouldn't happen, and I took my 5 minutes to speak about what respect is according to our understanding, and I spoke, quoted Jiva Goswami and the Sundaras. It defines the meaning of respect as that never intentionally cause pain to any living entity. And I said that we should never intentionally cause pain to another living entity, to a very senior, respectable Vaishnava, such as those who exist on the GBC. And I just spoke on this topic. I took my 5 minutes for that topic, and I didn't discuss the quote-unquote topic. I just didn't even barely touched it. And I said, please, whatever decision is made, let's not fall into a trap and then have disrespect for somebody who may have a different opinion. We're all sincerely trying to serve. And the only person who approached me to thank me was Bhakti Dhruva Maharaj. And he said, he came up to me afterwards and he said, Maharaj, thank you. He said, that was wonderful. We need to hear something like that more often from you. And he was just always very conscientious to recognize something that was, he felt, of significance. And it touched my heart. Because I tried to speak from my heart. Nobody else, I guess. I mean, maybe they listened, but sometimes we get caught up sometimes on these discussions and we overlook. But he went out of his way to express that to me. And it really had a deep impression on me. And that's just the kind of person he was. Attentive to details. And he always looked for the best. And I never, at least any of the times when I was with him, and I was with him discussing sometimes many, you know, quote unquote GBC issues, I would never hear a word of criticism or anything of that nature coming from his mouth. He was always a perfect gentleman. And I can think of more. These are some things that have come to my mind, like what I mentioned to you when Bhakti Dhruva Maharaj was the chairman that year, which was, I think, just 2 years ago. At the end of the meeting, I went over to Maharaj after his year of serving as a chairman. And I held him. One thing he had a habit of doing, whenever he approached somebody approached him, he would always take their hands. I always noticed this. It was not like, you know, he would always take their hands and he would hold their hands. You know, so I approached Maharaj, you know, with my folded hands. And I didn't say anything yet, but he really took my hands in his hands and he held them in his hands and he looked at me, you know, with his charming smile, an aristocratic smile. I think that's all I have to say that about Bhakti Dhruva Swami. I said, Maharaj, I just want to say that the meeting's over, the year's over, and I'm just so grateful that although so many things happen every year and it's difficult to be a GBC chairman, that I have to confess I felt very protected under your chairmanship. And he looked at me just like a little baby child. And it's sort of like, really? It's almost like, you know, I didn't do anything. It was like, didn't want to take any credit for anything. It was another exchange. These are things that are just popping in my mind, these little exchanges with him that really deeply impressed me about him. And of course, probably his most outstanding quality is his love for Prabhupada, which is probably should have been the first, but definitely it was expressed again and again and again, and demonstrated again and again and again. And I can say that for myself, even myself, it's not easy having to be labeled as a GBC. it's not an easy title to swallow sometimes. People always have this idea that GBCs are. And they don't know. Many of them, they make these statements, GBCs are, but they're clueless about who the personalities behind that designation are. They're completely clueless. They're just like, GBCs are. But if you look and examine the individual personalities and the qualities, I'm bringing that point up because I know for myself that sometimes there are difficulties, devotees, if you ask them, anybody, why do you continue with this? And there's only one reason, in the minds of boast, and it was most prominent in Bhakti Chuu Maharaj, is love for Prabhupada. Most prominent. Position? So many we could just drop it. As I oftentimes say, and there are many also who have the similar, I'm firmly convinced there's life after GBC. Firmly convinced. and if you ask anybody, especially Bhakti Chuu Maharaj, and I saw so many times the sacrifices he would make because he loved Prabhupada and because he loved devotees who loved Prabhupada. It's a big loss. It's a big loss. Lucifer like that. It's a big loss. They're such rare souls.